Good evening and welcome to the Car Sim and Race Driver Show with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my very special guest and co-host, Andrew Marr. Are you there, Andrew?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Fantastic, that's exactly what I wanted. That's very good, excellent. Hello, everybody.
It's good. Coming off the StreamYard so that we can talk later on. Let's see. We'll quickly sort that one out there. What have we got on the show with you for tonight, Andrew?
Well, I've got a little bit of news to try and contribute something vaguely to what we're doing. Me. That's about it, really. So, not very interesting, but a little bit interesting.
We've always got good, exciting stuff. Exciting stuff coming up. And Ant has just joined in the show. Welcome to Ant.
Oh, hey, woo.
One of our top followers and top listeners. Ready to definitely insult Andrew and us.
Yeah, he's going to do that, isn't he? Yeah. It's charming. Well,
all comments are good comments, isn't it? It's all interaction, as we say.
No.
But... But no. There's lots of motorsport coming up as well. There is a special event with the Williams team, aren't they? With George Russell and Nicholas Latifi. They're going to do 12 two-lap races? And I'm not sure exactly how the challenges all work out. But I know that's on this weekend. I know you were telling me a little bit about that earlier on.
Well, I saw the advertisement on Instagram and I thought, I know someone that will want to know about that. So I sent you a link. I saw that it was called the Williams Challenge, which if John was here, he would say the challenge is to find someone who can run Williams. But John isn't here saying that, so I'll say it. Though I think they're doing fine. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think what was clear in testing is that the car was much better than it was before. So that's quite good.
Yeah, we saw that, didn't we?
And I've also got some news because I've been playing two different games this week. One, of course, is Gran Turismo, GT Sport. And the other is Assetto Corsa. And they're both, I have to say, extremely good. But Assetto Corsa, I think, has better sound and a few more options. And it's very popular for all these kind of esports events. And there'll be a very exciting esport event coming up in the next few months that I can't say exactly what's happening at the moment. But I will let you know as I get more information, which will be a very, very exciting thing for us here at the Car Sim and Race Driver Show. Hopefully we'll have some even more special guests and some great interviews and even more than that. But that's all I can say at the moment regarding that one. But Assetto Corsa is great fun. And if you're a gamer and you would like to have a shot or fancy having a go at racing games, I would strongly recommend Assetto Corsa. The sounds are great. Guess what was the first car that came up on the list of cars to choose from?
Was it the Skoda Fabia?
No. It was an Alfa Romeo 155 BTCC car.
Oh, the Cloverleaf.
The Cloverleaf, the one like Tarquini had.
I actually thought you might be saying Alfa Romeo, but I've got to be facetious about it.
It was brilliant, and there's hundreds of cars. You can buy extra packs, and then you can you get lots and lots of different cars that you can drive. And there's a Assetto Corsa competition, which is a kind of slightly more advanced version. It was a kind of update game that they brought out. That's coming to console, to PS4, in the next couple of months as well. So that is probably worth buying too. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to playing that as well. Carry on.
I was going to say, Kleenex has sneezed themselves into our live studio. Dodge the COVID-19 people.
Yes. I know, it's true. How many times do you find yourself stuck in a queue when you have to go shopping? It took me half an hour to get into Tesco's, which is kind of crazy. But we'll leave all of that for shopping for another day. On Gran Turismo, as this is all about motorsport, on Gran Turismo Sport today, on this week, they've got some quite good races. Blue Moon Bay, and they've got Fuji for Group 3, which is quite a tough track.
Fuji!
I think one of the best. I do like. I think one of the one of the best races there ever I saw. And that was when Lewis Hamilton won, I think, was it in 2007, in the most horrendous conditions, when they could not see a thing.
It always rains at Fuji, doesn't it? Yeah. It's a very wet track, that one, isn't it? Yeah.
It was something else. And it was quite a thing. But they've also got, now what's the other one? It's Tokyo, which is the center inner loop, which is a special kind of track that they've made for Gran Turismo. It's been on a few times.
Okay.
And I got within 1.5 seconds of the top time in the world, and just a second.
Really?
Yeah, off the top 10. So I was quite chuffed about that.
What car were you driving? Were you in the Alpha?
No, it was actually an Audi TT Group 4 car. It was a Group 4 race. I chose the Audi, and I managed somehow. It was late last night. I was playing alongside Jonathan. We were both trying to beat our times, because he had actually done a time of Blue Moon, the one in the minis. He'd done like a 1:28, and 1:28.3, and beaten my time. And in the end, I got a 1:27.3, which was not too bad. And then we tried it at the Tokyo track, and I took an extra half second off my time. So I got down to 1:16.3, which is, I was really chuffed about that. So it does show you, with a bit of practice, you can certainly enjoy it and get a good result.
Yeah.
That we'll have to get you on these games, Andrew, at some point, and get a lobby.
I'd need the equipment first, and I think that's... as priorities go, that's a bit low at the moment. But perhaps, yeah, I mean, yeah. when I win the lottery, if I ever start playing it, then I'll definitely. I quite like some of the kit I saw on YouTube of the guy that didn't do very well, but it's races in Australian V8s and stuff. I can't remember his name now. Do you remember the one that was on the virtual race?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's some really good races out there with some of the stuff they have is incredible.
The kit he had, of course, it was all given to him by his team. You know, they actually just gave it to him. He didn't have to pay for anything. It's just always the way, isn't it? The ones that don't have any money problems in buying it themselves, they get it all given to them. So, and then he came like nearly last. not a good day for him, was it?
No. Yeah. But it's great fun, and I do think that as you're racing, we were racing well into the night, you start to pick up the lines a bit better. So this is why I think people that start it's actually great for young folk, because they are learning, you know, how to be a better racing driver. You know, they're actually learning how to take a proper line for the corner. You know, being slow in and fast out, learning that when you accelerate, you want to try and keep your foot on the throttle right the way through, so you're not kind of coming on and off the throttle. And as a result, you do get faster and faster. And in fact, I forgot to tell you that last week I was in a special Gran Turismo tournament. Would you believe that? They accepted me in.
On like a live stream tournament. A genuine competition, a proper...
Yes, it was a lobby, lobby with Game Tech UK and Jason, who runs it. He's very, very good, does lots of live streams on YouTube. You'll catch him. It's Game Tech UK, and they have what they call GT Royale. It's normally on a Thursday night, and I'd watched a few of them. I never quite managed to join in before, but this was last Thursday night at about midnight. They were still going strong. They had a new race, and it was one where you do a race, and the last driver drops out. And so I joined it, and I managed to keep going. Had a few very dodgy races. but eventually I managed to stay out, win a few of them, and I got into the semi-final and then the final, and I won it first time out.
Won it? Oh, wow. Yeah. Well done, Hugh. I mean, you have been doing this for a while, so it's not like you've gone in and you're a rookie. You have been playing these games for quite a bit. Otherwise, why would you have a show called The Car Sim and Race Driver Show?
Exactly.
So you must be a little bit experienced in it. So, and you've done, I mean, you've told me a few of the times you've done on various courses over the past few months, and you're a few seconds, you're within a few seconds of the best times in the world generally, aren't you?
That's my aim. I try and get within 1.5-2 seconds of the top times if I can. That's the thing. Some tracks I can do it and I can get within that, and others I'm a wee bit away. But I think you find out what kind of formulas you're good at, you know, whether it's group four. I like group four. It seems to be a bit more manageable. It's things like Renault Megane RSs, you know, the kind of racing car version of that, and the Audi TTs. Group four is a good one for me. And then you find the tracks as well that you like and that seem to be good. But this worked really, really well. And they were doing the tracks that were actually on the daily races that they have every week. So I knew it. I'd done quite a lot of practice on it as well. So I knew I could do competitive times, but I knew I had to practice my racing because I tend to do time trial more than races. So this was to try and help me get some proper real-world racing experience again. And I have to say, it was great fun. Really, really good.
I was reading a little article talking about how well our mate Charles Leclerc has been doing in the virtual Grand Prix.
Yeah,
getting repeat pole positions and then back-to-back race wins. And he did. We watched it. We commentated on it, and he was really good. And the thing he was saying is the thing he likes about this sim racing is that it's one of the few things in the world where the real world experience is transferable in some way to the game. And I've said this to you that when I'm playing something like Sega Rally 1, 2, and 3 in an arcade, that my real world driving is applicable to what I can do on that game. So if I had the equipment, I'd be happier. I don't like using a little yoke, is it they call these little joysticky things? Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not, that's just, no. I don't want to drive a car by a joystick. I want a steering wheel and some pedals, thank you. So if I had the kit, maybe I'd be a lot better. But at least you can give it a go if you can drive. I like that. Mm-hmm. I do like that. So I think Charles is correct. But, you know, there are other racing drivers on that grid who didn't do anywhere near as well as him.
A lot of them were quite a bit further down. I did show you the skill. I mean, he's definitely very, very talented. And I think it's quite interesting to see how they get on. It would just be nice to have a full F1 grid. I think that would really tighten it up a bit.
They need to take that event much more seriously, don't they?
Yeah. I read an interview with Vettel, and he's just bought one. He's just got himself a sim rig. But he's not too bothered by it, but because they're all having a go, he thought he should probably do something and get one. So he's got
one. They're doing it.
Yeah, in his fortress.
My Ferrari team enemy's got it, so I'll better get one. But at least if they crash into each other on that track, it won't wreck a car.
Yes, exactly. And they can have more coming together, isn't it? A preview of what's to come.
In practice.
Yeah.
But it's interesting we're saying about how the F1 people are not, I don't think they are doing these races, but they're not really applying themselves to taking it seriously and giving us an alternative to the Formula One we're not getting to see. And then this week I read that the BBC are putting on a Formula E eSports series. And it's going to be streamed. It's a proper championship of 8 races. They didn't list who was going to be in it other than saying that it sounded like they were saying Rita Ora and Nikki Shields were driving, but the wording is ambiguous. It might be that Rita Ora is just hanging around.
She might be a commentator or something, or a kind of guest speaker or something.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she might be really good. She might be really into it. I don't really know much about Rita Ora.
Yeah.
Other than that, apparently there's a rumour that she had an affair with Beyonce's thingy and I don't like her music. Apart from that, I don't really know anything about her. You know, she's so beautiful.
Funny. I suppose that's part of the BBC. They do tend to do this, though, when they have a big motoring show or something like that. They'll go in and it sounds great, and then they go and get commentators or people who are just not appropriate for the whole thing. It was like, remember when they got rid of when Top Gear had kind of evolved in the 90s, before it was James May and Clarkson and Hammond. It was still very popular because you had Tiffany Dell, you had Quentin Wilson, and you had all of that. And then they all got fired. Remember, they stopped the show. It was that woman, who does the kind of green events, you know, the kind of with the wild show and all this kind of stuff. Kate Humble. Yeah.
Kate Humble.
She did it, and it became this kind of very green and economy driven car show that bombed because it was so boring, nobody wanted to watch it. And then, of course, they restarted the whole show after that.
But he disappeared, and then Clarkson restarted it as a with the shares, Andy Gorman,
wasn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I actually remember Kate Humble being Quentin Wilson. At least Quentin Wilson was still on the show when Kate Humble was doing it, because they always paired them together.
That's right.
Sounding people, and there was one where he was driving a V12 DB7.
All right.
And she was in there, and she had these tiger striped trousers. That's all I remember. Tiger striped trousers, Aston Martin DB7, and they were going on about pipes and slippers. And I'm thinking, review the car. Just, I don't care that he's some posh Burke and that you're skinny. Just talk about the car. Harry Metcalf is an ugly old man, but he talks about the cars with such passion. And then he drives the cars, and you hear the cars, and you see the cars, and it's about the cars.
Yeah,
that's why it's great.
Yeah.
Kate. I mean, I like Kate Humble. She's lovely. She's a great person. She lives in Wales somewhere. She's got a farm.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no. See, it's certainly. I mean, the show did bomb at that point, and it was reintroduced, and then it became what Top Gear is kind of now renowned for, and it did so well. Because they made it fun. They kind of, you know, Clarkson pushed the boundaries of what you could do with a car show. And then things like that.
Turned it into Loaded magazine on the telly. Come on. It stopped being a car show.
Yeah,
it was,
I mean, it was
awful. I hate it.
Did you? That's quite funny, you see.
Oh, God.
Now, Anne just said a very appropriate comment. Look for a wind farm and she'll be there. Not just a wind farm, anything remotely environmental.
I would like to defend Kate Humble a little bit, okay? Because, yes, she does those kinds of shows, but that is actually the kind of shows she should be doing. Because she's actually a biologist. That was her degree. She's actually a qualified biologist. So at least she's now doing the kind of stuff she was trained to do. Yeah. I was having a conversation with Ant the other day about, do you remember Scrap Heap Challenge?
Oh, yes, I used to really like that. Yeah, that was quite
the
fun.
Original, you had Crichton with
his
makeup on.
Crichton. Yes,
Thingy Llewellyn, what's his name?
Him.
Yeah. Crichton. Yeah. We don't really care what his real name is. Crichton. Because, you know, we don't, do we?
I'm struggling to remember.
Thingy. Llewellyn, it's something. Is it Dave? No, Dave Llewellyn's a rally driver. Robert Llewellyn.
Yeah.
Not Dave, because Dave Llewellyn was a Welsh rally driver. Anyway, the point is to put the co-host was this short-haired blonde woman, right? She was actually the creator of the show and the producer, as well as the presenter.
All right.
So we were talking about it, and I looked her up, and she did something like, I don't know, accounting or law or something completely unrelated, but she did it in Cambridge. And therefore, immediately got a job as a producer in the BBC.
Yeah.
This is why the BBC is rubbish. Because the way you get a job in the BBC is you go to Oxford or Cambridge and you turn up. Every now and again, they take an Oxbridge graduate that's from the north, you know, this mythical north of Cambridge, north of Watford, just so that they can say they've got an ethnic minority, you know, like somebody from Liverpool or Manchester. I mean, they've even moved a bit of it to Manchester, haven't they, to even pretend some of it is actually northern. So, yeah, that's how you get a job in the BBC. You don't have to know anything or do anything. You just have to come from the right college and be the right... Yes, Prime Minister. Sir Humphrey Appleby used to talk about sound people because they went to his college in Oxford.
That's the thing.
So, Kate Humble, she started off doing whatever. But at least she's now doing something related to stuff she knows. So, you know, we can't be too harsh on her, can we?
But no, that's the thing. Yeah, I don't know how Rita Ora is going to do. I just hope they don't make it some kind of celebrity nonsense.
I hope she's brilliant. Wouldn't it be amazing if she turns up and she's this big boobed rapper woman and she's fantastic in a sim? I just think that would be like brilliant. That would be like Britney Spears turning up and actually being intelligent.
They were saying they were going to do the Formula W potentially on the esports, because that's like a Formula 3. Yeah, and that's going to, you know, because that's got like Jamie Chadwick and all of that, you know. So
women, women,
it would be all women, and it would be, I'm sure it would be a very big hit.
I'm sorry, I was doing my Al Murray impression.
See, I think if you got people like Bernie Eccleston to do that, that would be so funny. Because you wouldn't just have
good girls. To marry them.
You wouldn't just have good girls. You'd actually have the Formula W as well. So you can imagine
if
what...
Bernie,
what
it, if Bernie was involved, he'd just try to marry him or jump on him.
All right.
You know, that's what Bernie does. It's like having Enoch or Methuselah, 1,000 years old, looking at... Come on. Bernie was never one of the ones that encouraged women in motorsports. No, he was the one that went, women? Oh, women?
Oh, what was it? Was it not Flavio Briatore, his girlfriend, got into Formula One? I remember Jonathan was talking about that. But no, if they had, genuinely, I think it was definitely, if they did Formula W on an EC, you know, on an E-Series sports, it would definitely, without doubt, get a big viewers, get a lot of viewers. I think they could do it quite well.
Tell Channel 4 then, because they're doing bugger all with what they've got at the moment. Maybe if they've got a bunch of... Because Channel 4 are another one of these channels that like to make everything look like it's politically correct, don't they? Which I have an issue with. I mean, it doesn't sound... I don't know whether it ever sounds like it. I am sick and tired of the exclusion of women philosophically because, you know, why they can't drive, they can't even park. Which is all codswallop. But I'm equally annoyed with the idea of giving a deliberate advantage just because.
Yeah, it should be really on merit. I can see why they're trying to do it, though, because they want to encourage women into the sport, and the Formula W gives people something to aim for, because if they can get into that, it gives them a really good chance to prove themselves. And, you know, it's actually, what was remarkable was although there were a few incidents, there wasn't anything massive. And we honestly, I remember when Andrew Dixon and I were first trying to look at it and watch it, we thought there were going to be a lot more accidents, you know, and big chunks. But actually, they were pretty good. They were. It really wasn't.
It was very skillful, actually. It was a lot less carnage than you normally get from the Formula 3.
Yeah, I thought some of the tracks weren't so good. They needed to choose a bit better for the tracks they used, but. But they really did drive and they drove hard. You know, I mean, it was 100% all the way.
Well, I remember them interviewing some of them, and I mean, I take your point and completely agree with you where it gives them a chance because it's so hard for anyone to get into to promote themselves in Formula One because it's all about money, and image, and if you haven't got the money backing you, you're not going to get a drive, are you? And there were several of the girls. I think one of the ones that came second or third. Superb driver, Scandinavian. Oh, that was a brilliant thing.
Yes, and she was very. You know what I mean? She pushed Jamie the whole way.
Yeah, she was superb. I mean, Jamie was great, and she was great. It was like really good racing, and the skill involved. And she hadn't driven for something like 2 years.
Yes,
because she couldn't get a drive. She'd given up. The only reason she, you know, when this came along, she was like. She thought she'd never get a chance ever again. And now she's showing that she's got, you know, and they're getting super license points now as well. I was listening to Lee McKenzie, who I've got a lot of respect for. I like Lee McKenzie. Her and Louise Goodman are the two F1 presenters who I've got a huge amount of time for because they really know what they're talking about, you know. Louise Goodman obviously worked in Formula One for a long time, was married to Gary Anderson, the late Gary Anderson, the great Gary Anderson, who was a technical director for Jordan and Arrows and other teams as well. So she knows her stuff. Now she's doing British touring cars, as we both know, and she's very good in that as well. But Lee McKenzie's also good and considered and concise and just great. It's great to listen to. I love Lee. And they asked her, DC, because she was presenting, wasn't she? She was co-presenting the Formula W, Lee McKenzie.
Yes, yep, aye.
And she was being asked, what do you think of it? And I thought her answer was fantastic. She says, philosophically, I don't like it. Exactly the same as me. She had exactly the same reasons as me. Don't like the idea that women need a special leg up because they don't.
Yeah.
But women are not able it's, you know, it's so hard for these women to get into these roles. It's giving them a platform to do that. So, it's a good thing, but I hope it puts itself out of business, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
I hope in a few years it's not necessary.
Yeah. I found the name of that person, by the way. The runner-up was Hollands Bitsky-Visser. Bitsky-Visser.
Yes, there's Visser. That's not the one I'm thinking of. There's one with a long Scandinavian name.
Hang on. I'll see. I've got all the details here on the competitors. It's just taking me a second and I will find that out for you. Here we are. We've got a picture of them all. Come on now. Why is it taking so long?
Because.
That's strange. No, it's not giving. It's not allowing me to go down and see what's been happening. I don't know why that's happened. I'll have to find another one. The first woman on there.
Great.
Right. Now you're thinking it was. There's Emma Kamalainen from Finland. Vivian.
That's the one. That's her. No, Emma, because I remember her because you know
Emma Kamalainen. Yeah, from Finland. Yeah. Electric GT Dynamic Development.
She was proper feisty as well. I've typed Google Formula W 2019 and I've got World Champion Formula One, Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, it doesn't bring anything up that's related at all.
Idiotic. Yeah. Moronic.
Algorithms. Yeah, brilliant, isn't it?
Algorithms. Oh, you just remind me of Lenny Henry's first character on television. Tis was. Algernon Winston Churchill Razzmatazz. Remember that? With his condensed milk sandwiches.
Yes, just. It was just in my time, I think.
But no, because you're ever so young.
So, that's the thing. I think Formula W could be quite an interesting one. Because they don't really have a kind of, Formula 3 style e-race, as far as I can see, that will certainly be publicized over in Britain. I know they have a lot more in America. Like they've got NASCAR in America. They've got IndyCar in America. We know that Lando Norris is going to take part in one. In fact, that might actually be this weekend, I think, he's going to take part in that. So there's quite a lot of stuff going on all over the world. But it'd be quite good. I think Formula W might just work. Because I think at the rate it's going, it's unlikely that there'll be that many races on this year, if any. It's happening. Maybe you might get Formula One, but I don't know if you'll get anything else.
They're desperate, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they're desperate. They really are. Mm-hmm. Because all the arguments about Murnie and whether McLaren and them are going to go out of business and whether Williams are going to go out of business, you know, all the it's tough, man. It's tough.
Yeah, I hope they stay. I really hope that nobody does end up losing the racing teams because, I mean, we need it for next year and hopefully they can keep going and use some of their reserves to make it all, to make it all happen. Now, Ant has said no corners in the US. That is true for some of the ovals, well, the four left-handers, isn't it? Or the kind of continuous left-handers.
So they actually designed the cars to be asymmetric for the Indy 500. The classic Indy 500 Roadster, which a certain Cooper and followed by a Mr. What's his name?
Colin Chapman.
Why couldn't I remember his name? Oh my God. All right. Yeah, Colin Chapman. They you remember when they turned up in their funny little cars? The Cooper turned up and no one really noticed it. They just thought it was a funny little car. But then when, of course, Colin Chapman came up with his deliberately, specifically designed rear-engined Indy car with Jim Clark, and then he won. They're all going, ha-ha, oh. But before that, they were all asymmetric. They all had the weight on the inside and, you know, drive shaft down one side and all this kind of stuff. They were set up to turn left. You know. The thing is that is amazing is that they... In the 90s, odd, maybe early 2000s, they were turning left at like 250 miles an hour.
Which
quite is crazy. Quick. Yeah, it is crazy when you've got a concrete wall just over there.
Aye. Oh, dear. Madness,
I appear to
it?
Have slid into it and died.
Yeah. Well, it was pretty dangerous. But,
not for me.
No, definitely not. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, how many more e-races they're going to have. I was going to say we should try and commentate on some, if you like. Would you be up for that? Maybe for the Williams one? I don't know if that's tomorrow or Sunday.
Did you see give it a go. I mean, there's George Russell. There's Nicholas Latifi. I don't know how it's going to go. I'll have to see. Yeah, give it a go.
Yeah.
It's 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock on Sunday, isn't it?
Sunday night. Oh, we could try that one then.
Yeah, see, I mean, the usual time that they've started, because they were at 8, and then last week they went to 6, realising that no one's watching it at 8.
Because I think they're doing lots of different races. Because they did that with Lando Norris a few weeks ago. And I think it's like challenges, or people will come in and try and race them or something like that. So it's going to be, that's the gist I got. But I could be completely wrong. But hopefully I'm not. But we'll find out more about that and see if we can cover that on Sunday night. That could be quite fun. I think that's going to be on YouTube as well.
Lando doesn't count because he's on every night anyway. His mum makes him his tea and then he gets on the computer. And I could just picture her opening the door and saying, "Take the bins out, mum." You know,
I'm in the middle of a race.
I'm in the middle of a race and there's a million people watching me. I don't care what your little hobbies are. Get yourself. I was watching Galaxy Quest yesterday.
Oh yeah, that's a great film.
They got the bit. That's a fantastic film. And, so much of the characters were invented by the characters, and it's not the film they originally was going to make. Mm-hmm. The Ghostbuster, Harold Ramis was the original director, and then he had a massive falling out with the bosses because he didn't want Tim Allen in the film. And I think Tim Allen was great.
Yeah, no, he was very good in that. I liked him.
He absolutely did not want Tim Allen in the film. Sigourney Weaver, he didn't want any sci-fi people in the film. And Sigourney Weaver, she really wanted the role because she was, I think, Alien was
that's
coming
she
out
just come
around
from
that time.
Yeah.
And, of course, she's playing this badass. She was like the original badass space woman.
Yeah,
wasn't she? I mean, I think she's great. I love Sigourney Weaver. She's just fantastic, brilliant actress.
Yeah,
but she wanted to play something a bit different, a bit light-hearted, you know.
Aye.
So it was her idea, basically, to get her boobs out in some scenes, and to be this kind of vacuous parody of the vacuous woman. It wasn't that bit because I have one job on this thing, and it's to repeat what the computer says, and I'm damn well going to do it.
No, you would like the film Heartbreakers. Have you seen Heartbreakers? With Sigourney Weaver and Rachel, somebody Smith, that's a kind of long name. You should look for Heartbreakers on YouTube. It's very funny, very, very good.
Okay.
It's an all-star cast. Very, very good.
I was watching that, and then they got the bit at the end where they're landing the shuttle thing, or whatever it is, the captain's yacht. And you've got that young lad who's in other films these days, in Dodgeball and stuff like this, who's the geek.
And
his mum and dad said, "Where are you going with the..." She's trying to tell him how to save the ship, and it's real. And take the trash out. I cannot tell you how important and imperative it is. The commander needs me. Don't forget the recycling.
Right, he plays the game. That's the thing, isn't it? it was very good. Actually, I did enjoy that. I did enjoy that a lot.
Fantastic film.
But yeah. Well, there we are. We have rounded out quite a bit of motorsport news and banter in just over half an hour of the show.
Excellent.
And on Sunday, we'll be back doing some more commentary on the Williams drivers to see how we get on. I did ask Jonathan, but unfortunately, Jonathan couldn't make it tonight. But a big shout out as well to Andrew Dixon. Hopefully, we're trying to work our way to make sure that he can get back on the show as soon as possible. But we hope he is well. And also, wishing he had to unfortunately delay his wedding due to coronavirus. But hopefully, that will go ahead later on in the year. And a big shout out to Josh Martin, because he has just done a deal with the Bentley esports team. Now, I need to go into the exact details of because it's different teams that are out there, but he is driving a Bentley in the esports series. So, well done to him, because that's a big step forward. And that's going to be, I think that's a big step for his career as well. So good, well done for Josh Martin. We're very pleased about his progress and all of that. Look forward to keeping up with his racing and to see how he does.
But, so here's a question. If you're driving for the Bentley eSports team, do you get a really posh seat to sit in? I mean, is that how it works?
Yeah, it was something.
Because electronically, you just touch whatever, you know, you program a thing in. But what is it?
Some you get loose like leather.
Hand-stitched leather, Alcantara leather.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it does.
And walnut dash. How does that work?
We'll have to bring him on the show and you can ask him. That's
okay.
Well, I will give you a call in a few minutes, Andrew. But for everyone who's been listening to Ant, thank you very much for joining with us and for being
a milk crate. So I just read. What the hell?
I know it's gone all over the place tonight, so I'm trying to rein it in and keep it all sorted.
Sorry, I just saw that and thought, what?
That's the thing. But to all our listeners and viewers, of course, this time, this is a Podbean special, an exclusive live show on the Podbean live stream platform. It's fantastic to have you with us, and we'll see you soon. We'll see you again very soon. Remember to hit the subscribe button to our channels and for the podcast, and also visit HughHattrick.com, and you can find out more information about what we do and what's available. But it's great to have you with us. Drive fast and try not to crash.
Amen.